welcome to the Meta Church Podcast. We're thankful that you're taking part of your day to spend it with us, and we pray this message encourages you, inspires you, and leads you to experience the transformative power of Jesus in your life.
Okay, well, we are jumping into week two of our Grateful series, and as we begin today, I want to start by telling you something about myself. And before you get like, hey, that's kind of conceited, or I don't care to hear, like, here's the deal, like, why do you get to talk about yourself, Ricky? That's not fair. Like, well, I have a microphone, I have a camera, and you're not here. If you were here, I would gladly talk about you, but I don't want to talk about you because I don't want to be gossiping since you're not here. You can't defend yourself, so I don't want to do that. I'm going to talk about me, okay? Some of you might know this, and some of you might have observed this, even if you didn't, even if I've never articulated it to you. But what you need to know about me is that I am an incredibly passionate person. I'm very passionate about a lot of different things, okay? I'm super passionate, but let me just clarify about that. Passionate, but not necessarily opinionated, okay? Now, when I was in my 20s, I was opinionated. I had opinions about everything. But as I've gotten older, I realized that my opinions matter less and less. I will say I've got a lot of perspectives on different things, but I very rarely take those perspectives and allow them to become judgments or opinions for or against one way or the other. But not really even that. Like, my passion isn't centered around those things. My passion is centered on life. Like, I love life. I love living to the max. I'm convinced my next tattoo, Krista is kind of objecting to this, but my next tattoo is just four letters, LFDE. Live full, die empty. Man, I don't want to leave anything on the table. Whenever I check out, whenever God takes me home, I don't want anything left on the table. I want to live to the max. And so I'm passionate about life. I'm passionate about enjoyment. I'm passionate about having fun and thrills. Like, literally, I'm the kind of guy, you go to a theme park and ride a roller coaster, right? Like, you know, they put the harness over you or the lap kind of thing to keep you in place. I will puff out my chest. You know, it's like, oh, here's the harness. And I will like puff out my chest like this. So that way when they come to check it, it feels tight. But when I like come back, I got like 4 to 5 extra inches. That way I can like have a more freeing and like thrilling experience because I'm passionate about thrills and I'm passionate about feeling and enjoyment. But I'm also passionate about my work. Like, I'm passionate about doing a good job. I'm passionate about being a great employee. My company doesn't do this, but there's a part of me that even today works with this mindset that, like, if my company offered an Employee of the Month award, I would want to win it 12 months out of the year. Like, that's how passionate I am about my contributions and the things that I do and the things that I put my mind to. Of course, I'm passionate about my faith, right? Like, I'm passionate about living this out. I don't just want to talk the talk. I don't just want to be someone who says they believe in Jesus but doesn't live like Jesus. I don't want to be someone who says it's okay to be ho-hum about this. I want to be all in on my faith. In fact, probably the best mantra to describe me is that if anything is worth, or describe how I feel, is that if anything is worth doing, it's worth overdoing. If anything is worth doing, it's worth overdoing. Like, I'm just that into these things. And as a passionate person, the thing that drives me nuts, maybe more than anything else, the thing that kind of like irks me and bothers me is when someone is indifferent. Like, when someone is indifferent, I'm like, how? How are you emotionless about this? How do you not have feelings? Like, get a pulse, like, get some blood flowing through your veins, like, wake up, feel something, like, get energized, have a sentiment or an experience or engage in this. I was thinking about that scene from The Office where Michael Scott's in his office and he's kind of talking to the camera and he kind of is speaking rhetorically, but he says, you know, would I rather be feared or loved? Well, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me. And it's kind of like me, like, give me one or the other, give me both, but don't give me nothing. Like, I need emotion, I need passion, I need enthusiasm, I need exuberance, I need excitement. Like, don't just be neutral or indifferent. And I know you're probably sitting there like, okay, great, you're passionate, we get it, we can hear it coming through the microphone, we can hear it, we're loud and clear, Ricky, you are passionate. But what does that have to do with anything about gratitude? And what does that have to do with anything about today's message? And as a passionate person, my answer would be, everything. It has everything to do with today's message. It has everything to do with gratitude because indifference is an assassin. Indifference is a lethal killer. Indifference might be the quickest and subtlest way to kill gratitude and gratefulness in your life. And the reason for that is because gratefulness, being grateful, Gratitude is an emotion, and emotions evoke feelings. And indifference is to have no feeling, is to not feel a certain way. In fact, by definition, indifference is apathy. And so I would go as far to say that you cannot be indifferent and be grateful at the same time. Those two things are incompatible because gratitude and gratefulness is an emotion. You cannot be indifferent, therefore lacking emotion, and grateful at the same time. And I think many of us don't realize this, but what we don't see or what we're not aware of is that apathy or indifference will wipe out gratitude 10 times out of 10. When we are indifferent, when we are lacking emotion, when we are lacking that perspective or that emotional connection to our possessions, to our experiences, to our placement in life, we are actively wiping out any form or any semblance of gratitude. But there is good news. The good news is that you can actively engage gratitude. You can trigger it of sorts. And the way to engage gratitude is through appreciation. The way to kind of trigger gratitude in your life is through the practice of appreciation. And again, just to level set, to make sure we're all on the same page here, appreciation by definition is simply seeing or understanding the worth, the value, or the importance of something. To see or understand the worth, the value, and the importance of something. And I think we all know that, right? There are times or situations or experiences in our lives where we see the value in something, we appreciate something, but someone else doesn't. Some people appreciate fine art and others don't get it. Some people appreciate fine wine and others like, hey, just get me a $10 bottle of like Apothic Red and I'll be great. You know, some people appreciate things. Maybe you've appreciated something and been frustrated because someone else didn't appreciate it. Maybe someone else appreciated something and they were frustrated because you didn't appreciate it. You know, this happens in my house all the time, right? Like, I love my sneakers. I love my kicks. And I'm very, very emotionally connected to my sneakers. But Krista, on the other hand, she just doesn't get it. She just doesn't get it. She doesn't understand it. She doesn't see it. She is completely indifferent and maybe even offended by the fact that I see so much value and significance and importance in these sneakers. I show her, I'm like, oh, babe, look at these. And she's like, you already have ones that look like that. I'm like, no. They have a little bit of brown. These ones have this much brown and they have this color blue and it's a totally different silhouette. Imagine like me wearing the sneaker. Like if we went out to this place and I'm wearing this with this outfit, like it would look so good. And she's like, what are you even talking about? And to me, I see it. Like I appreciate every design and every aspect of it and why it matters and why I want it. But Krista just doesn't get it. But appreciation does that, right? Appreciation, it's relative to each and every one of us. But whatever it is that you appreciate, what you find is that it actually engages your heart. It evokes emotion. It connects you and it causes you and kind of the important matters, again, beyond sneakers. But when you appreciate things that have like actual significance and actual bearing on your life, what you find is that it's quite humbling, like in a good way. Because what it does is it broadens your perspective when you start to appreciate like, wow, like I can't believe this is my circumstance. I can't believe this is where I live. I can't believe these are the relationships or the friendships I have. I can't believe I was given this opportunity. I'm so grateful for it. You start to appreciate it and you realize, man, this is beyond me. This comes from something somewhere that I couldn't have fathomed or that I couldn't have attained on my own. And there's a great example of this in 1 Chronicles 29 with King David. David was a shepherd boy, if you remember, if you're familiar with the story of David, a shepherd boy out in the field minding his own business. And then one day out of nowhere, a prophet shows up, turns up to his house and calls him in and says, hey, God has anointed you, or he anoints him with oil and says, God has called you to be king over the people of Israel one day. And here's this kid who one day is just out in the field minding his business and God elevates him and puts him into a place of king. And David lives his life. And he's humbled by this whole experience and he pursues God and he follows God. And then nearing the end of his life, God declares another promise to him, a prophetic word, and says, David, because you have followed me, because you have been faithful to me, I promise you that a child will always, a descendant of yours will always sit on the throne over Israel. And that's where we find David's response in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14. David, when he receives this word from God, responds with a song, responds with like this praise, responds with appreciation, and he's humbled by it. But he says this in verse 14, he says, "But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us." Through this appreciation, David recognized, man, God, everything I have, everything I've given to you is only what you first gave from me. It's beyond me. And that's what appreciation does. It evokes and engages this emotion. And listen, let's be honest. This is not like new news, right? It's not like I'm disclosing some sort of secret or like some Christian hack that like you never knew. We understand and we know these things about appreciation. We know that it's important. We know that it makes a difference. It's not that we don't know what appreciation means. It's just that we don't always live it, or we just don't always practice it. And there's probably a multitude of reasons, right? Like sometimes, you know, again, it's church, it's safe. This is a safe space. So we can be honest here. And if we were honest, you know, I think most of us would admit that, yeah, you know what? Sometimes I just want to sulk in my problems. I just want to throw a pity party. Like, oh, this is not fair. This is unjust. This is wrong. Why is it that that person got this and this person didn't? Why is it this person lived and this person passed away? Why is it that this person got married and I'm still single? Why is it that they got the promotion and I didn't? You know, and we just kind of want to feel sorry for ourselves. We want to sulk in it sometimes. Like, again, this is a safe space. No condemnation, no judgment here. Sometimes, so we don't want to appreciate it. Other times, maybe we're too proud. You know, well, I worked hard, which is why I got the promotion. I worked hard, and so that's why I got that job. I hustled my way into this. Everything, I had to scrap, and I had to fight, and I had to claw my way up to get to where I'm at. So this is because of me and my doing, not necessarily because of what God has done. I'm not looking beyond myself. I just see myself in this. And that happens to us sometimes as well. But more often than not, I think the reason why we don't practice or show appreciation or appreciate what's in our lives or what we've been given is because we don't deem it very important, or we don't see the significance of it. We don't see why it matters. We don't see how it makes a difference. And I would say this, that's a problem. It's a problem because if we don't appreciate things, the things that we have, the things that are part of our lives, then what we'll do is we'll start to depreciate and devalue those things. If we're not looking at what we have and appreciating them, and we're not engaging with them, and we're not taking account of those things, we'll actually start to depreciate and devalue. In fact, I don't even know if you're taking notes, but go ahead, grab your phone, open up the Notes app, like everyone, okay? Open up the Notes app, and I need you to write this down. Or if you're writing in a journal, you can write it down in a journal. You need to write this down. If I don't actively appreciate things, I will unintentionally depreciate them. If I do not actively appreciate the things in my life, I will unintentionally depreciate them. When you are not cognizant and aware and appreciative of what you have, the relationships, the connections, the opportunities, the possessions, then what you will do by default is unintentionally depreciate them and devalue them and minimize the significance that they have in your life. And it's not like we got to go deep into the archives or way down to the bottom reaches of our memory to know that this is true. We need to look no further than the last 18 to 20 months of our world's history, right? You think about throughout the totality and the whole of this COVID pandemic, and we think about what happened. Go back to the beginning when lockdown took place and you couldn't go out and you weren't going out. And there was things that we no longer had access to. Time with friends, church gatherings, social connections with family, seeing our family, the people that we love, going out to a restaurant, going out for an entertainment, you know, to an entertainment venue. These things were all lost. And I would venture to say that most of us would say, yeah, I didn't actively appreciate those things. I enjoyed them, but I didn't actively appreciate them. And then when they were stripped away, I realized how significant they were. In fact, I was just thinking about this the other night because we were going out to dinner and it's like one of these freezing cold nights, right? And I was just thinking about how a year ago, we would go sit outdoors in the cold, 38, 39 degrees, in winter jackets, beanies, gloves. We're sat outside waiting for dinner. Our food's coming to our table and arriving cold because by the time we got from the kitchen to outside, the wind and everything had just already taken the warmth or the heat away and chilled it out. And I was just thinking the other day, like, man, I'm so grateful that I don't have to eat outdoors in the cold. And I don't think I ever considered or thought about the fact or appreciated the fact that I got to eat indoors, except, you know, if it was like the high heat of summer and I was glad that they had air condition. But I didn't actively appreciate it. And so what I ended up doing was depreciating and devaluing something that I actually found to be significant in my life. And again, that's a small example, but we think about that with friends, and we think about that with family, and we think about that with our church community. And we realize that, man, if I don't actively appreciate things, I will unintentionally depreciate them. And it's just kind of a rule of life. But the good news is that's not what you want. I know that's not what you want. It's not what I want, nor is it what I want for you. And the way I know that is because you're here. You're listening to a message about gratitude. You're listening to a message about appreciation. You've been following along during this series because you don't want to be someone who takes things for granted. You don't want to be someone who just says, oh, well, you know what? I didn't think about it. I didn't account for it. And so it didn't really matter until it was gone or until it was lost. And the good news is that there are three aspects of appreciation that I'm going to review and I'm going to share with you today out of Psalm 103 that you can practice, that you can implement, and it will engage and activate this emotion of gratitude. So with that in mind, we're going to jump over to Psalm 103. Again, it's a Psalm of David. And David, maybe more than anyone in the scriptures, was so good and so expressive and so intentional about, you know, reflection and appreciation and expression of his gratitude. And that's what we find here in Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. David writes, he says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me." See, that's the reflection piece that we spoke about last week. May I never forget all the good things he does for me. Verse 3, he forgives all my sins. And he heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Verse 5, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. And from this passage, David kind of shares or reveals three aspects or three ways that he practices appreciation or three things that he is appreciative for. And the first one actually might sound a bit counterintuitive. It might seem like contrary to what you would think. But the first thing David expresses appreciation for, and the first thing that you should appreciate, is appreciate what's been removed. Yes, removed. You need to appreciate what's been removed. Too many times in our lives, we grieve over something or someone that's been removed from our lives when we actually should be celebrating and giving thanks that it's no longer there. Now, let me clarify so you don't kind of run down this rabbit hole. I'm not talking about the passing or the death of a loved one. I'm talking about things that God has intentionally and deliberately removed from our lives so that we could be grateful and appreciative of what's been gone. Look at what David wrote in verse 3. He says this, "He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases." He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. See, David recognized elsewhere in the psalm, he would write this, "God has removed my sin as far as the east is from the west." So David was keenly aware of what God had removed from his life, of what God had taken out of his life. And he was appreciative that this was no longer who he was, this thing that was a detriment to him, this thing that plagued him, this thing that prevented him from becoming who God wanted him to become. God had removed it and he had healed his diseases and he had made him whole. And so David was expressing gratitude for what had been removed from his life. And spiritually, in the same way, you and I ought to do the same thing. But here's what I've learned in my own life. The longer I follow Jesus, the easier it is for me to forget about what God has removed. The longer, as weird as that is, the longer I follow Jesus, the easier it is for me to forget or to not consider the fact that he's removed my sin from my life, that he's changed who I am, that he's transformed my being and my person, and that what once plagued me or that what once was a part of me, this thing that I despised about myself, God has said, I have removed that, I have transformed that, and I have made it entirely different, Ricky. And we forget that. We lose sight of that. And it's so easy, yet as followers of Jesus, you and I should be focused and intentional and committed to everything God has done, to who he's called us to be, to how he's transformed us. And we should be keenly aware, just as David was, about what God has removed from our lives spiritually. Now, I want to take this same principle and I want to broaden it out to apply it to other areas of our lives to make it a little bit more tangible. Because Some of us are grieving over relationships. We're grieving over job opportunities. We're grieving over career changes or unfulfilled plans or dreams that have been removed from our lives. And we're missing out on the fact that God actually did that, and we should be appreciating that they're no longer there, that they're no longer present, that they're no longer a part, that they're no longer in place of what God has instead. We should be celebrating what God has done. And yet we're sitting here saying, well, if I only had this person in my life, if I only had this job, if I would have been able to go down this path, if I would have pursued this career instead. And yet God is looking from the heavens saying, I removed that to give you something different. I removed that person so that you could engage in this relationship instead. I switched this opportunity, or I took out this opportunity because I had a better plan for you. And we should be appreciating what's been gone, but we're grieving over it and not being able to step into the freedom that God actually intends for us. And if that's you, and if that relates to where you're at, where you're like, man, I'm stuck on this person. I'm stuck on this past boyfriend or this past girlfriend. I'm stuck on this friendship that's changed or shifted. I'm stuck on this opportunity that I got passed up or that I overlooked. I'm missing out on that. What you need to know is this: God doesn't need whoever or whatever has left you to bless you. Let me say it a little bit louder for the people in the back. God does not need whoever or whatever has left you to bless you. God is not looking at your circumstance and saying, wow, if so-and-so would have remained in their lives, I really could have worked wonders for them. Wow, if they would have stayed in this job, or if they would have got this job, then my plan would have been fulfilled in them. Oh goodness, you know what? They missed out on that opportunity. I have no idea how I'm ever going to bring about something new for them. That's not how it works. The creator of the universe is not stressed out or bothered. In fact, he's looking at what's been removed and saying, now I can step you, or I can move you to step into something greater, better, or more beneficial for you. So you need to learn to appreciate what's been removed, but you also need to learn to appreciate what's been redeemed. Yes, redeemed. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This whole book is one giant story of God taking what's been lost, what's been broken, what's been stolen, and making it whole once again. This is his letter to us showing, I redeem things. I make them, I bring them back from the grave. And David wrote about it in verse 4. He says, he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. Not only did God rescue David from death, but he redeemed him and crowned him with love and mercy. He took what was dying or what was upon its deathbed, and he replaced it and he redeemed it with something worthy and something valuable and something honorable. And that's exactly what redemption is. God taking lost causes, God taking broken vessels, God taking shattered dreams and redeeming them and crowning them with things of note, with things of worth, with things of value, with things of significance, with things of abundance and beyond our descriptions and beyond our belief and expectations. And God has done this, and David saw that there were aspects of his life that had been redeemed, that he was not interested in taking them for granted. He was not interested in not considering their worth. He was only concerned with expressing appreciation over what's been redeemed. And the same is true for you and I. There are aspects of our lives that we once considered a lost cause, be it a dream or a purpose, be it a relationship, be it an opportunity, be it a job, be it a living situation. These were things that we once considered lost cause, but if we actually assess and look at where we're at today, we can see that God has taken them and he has redeemed them and he has multiplied it and he has increased it and made it something of value and made it something of worth. And if you need any evidence of that, then you need to look no further than my own marriage. My own marriage, because a little more than 7 years ago, in the summer of 2014, Krista and I walked through the darkest season, the darkest stretches of our marriage. Our relationship had crumbled about 6 months prior, but there was tension for the better part of 2 years. And we were on our final straw, on the brink of seeing a divorce attorney. And I got so low that I contemplated taking my own life because I thought what would be best for my wife and what would be best for my daughter would be for me to be absent. My absence would be better than my presence. And I contemplated my own death, my own suicide, because I didn't see any hope for our marriage. I didn't see any ray of light in the outcome. I didn't know how anything could be reworked to be bearable or manageable, let alone thriving or whole. Yet somehow God stepped in and somehow God intervened and somehow God started to work and redeem this relationship and redeem our individual beings and establish us. And who we are today is a product of God's redemption, our marriage, our joy, our hope, our fulfillment, our enjoyment, our satisfaction, our love, our strength is all a product of what's been redeemed. And we talk about it in our home all the time, how much we're so grateful for what God has done, how much we're so grateful for the redemption in our marriage, how much we're so grateful for what we have today, how much we're grateful for the fact that it didn't end in that summer of 2014, that we stand before you today as a unit, as a couple, as a picture of God's redemption. And if he's done it for us, he will do it for you. And if he's established it in us, he will establish it in you. And when you look back in your life, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it is that you would identify, but I'm certain that you can find and you can pinpoint some circumstances, some situations that you would say, yeah, this was once a lost cause. This dream was shattered. This relationship was broken. This hope was dashed, but God has taken those things and he has redeemed them. He has brought them back and he has made them worthy. He has crowned them with love and with mercy, and he is establishing it because this is who God is. And so you learn to appreciate what's been redeemed. You appreciate what's been removed. But there was one more thing that David expressed appreciation for, and it's found in verse 5. David writes, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. My life is filled with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Through this process of gratitude and appreciation, David realized that his spirit had been renewed and that his life was made like something new, and it was something he needed to appreciate. And the same is true for you and I. We need to appreciate what's been renewed. Renewal is a massive thing. You know, there's nothing like getting something new, right? A new outfit to go out with friends, a new pair of sneakers to wear out on the street, a new phone to take selfies at brunch, a new car, a new apartment, a new job, a new friendship, a new relationship, a new opportunity, a new place to live, a new city to explore. We love the idea and the notion of new, and God loves it too, but what he envisions is actually so much bigger and so much better than that, because through gratitude, God desires to make our spirits renewed. You see, God wants to awaken us. God wants to bring us to life. God wants to establish something within our beings. He wants to give you fresh vision. He wants to establish new dreams. He wants to give you meaning and purpose, and he wants to bring those things to life in you. He wants to renew the causes that you are passionate about, the purpose you were made for, so that you can come alive. And sometimes that means God has to remove some things in order to renew some other things. You see, because sometimes he has to take out the parts that are blocking what he wants to bring into your life. And it's through the removal of one thing that we get to experience the renewal of something else. And when you start to appreciate what's been renewed, you also begin to realize that you can appreciate what's been removed. And God is declaring over you that he is going to renew some things in your life, and you need to appreciate them and be grateful for them, because through this process of renewal, you get to step into the purpose and the fullness of your being, and you get to blossom and become everything that God imagined you to be from the beginning. And it is through these three things, appreciating what's been removed, appreciating what's been redeemed, appreciating what's been renewed, that we can activate and engage the emotion of gratitude while slaying the assassin of indifference. So here's what I want you to do. It's a next step of sorts. Today, I want you to do this today. I don't care if you're listening on the podcast on a Wednesday or Thursday. I don't care if you're watching online or if you're watching here on a Sunday. What I want you to do is this. I want you today to take time to actively appreciate one thing that's been removed from your life, appreciate one thing that's been redeemed in your life, and appreciate one thing that's been renewed in your life. Like, take time today, like, to sing about it, to pray about it, to express it to God, to genuinely appreciate. Go on a walk and think it, talk it out loud on the street, and you say, well, that's crazy. Well, no, it's not. It's New York City. Nobody will even think twice of it. There's people talking to themselves out loud all the time, so you'll fit right in. But appreciate what's been removed from your life. Appreciate what's been redeemed in your life. Appreciate what's been renewed in your life. And activate and engage the emotion of gratitude.
Thanks again for joining us today on the MetaChurch podcast. To connect further with us, find us on Instagram or visit us online.